news of great joy that will be for all the people.
So joy is the appropriate response to the believer of good tidings of great joy, which constitute the gospel. Joy is exemplified in the life and character of Jesus set forth in his teaching. And Jesus went through hardship and some of the most difficult things in the Bible. And yet, throughout all of it, he has the everlasting joy of Jesus Christ. Of God the Father. Paul speaks of joy as one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy of the in the Holy Spirit as an essential mark of the kingdom of God. In Christ, the Christian can rejoice and be joyful, unspeakable, and full of glory, despite temporary afflictions. We light the third Advent candle of joy today.
All right, everyone, let's stand and worship our God. Today to think about the joy that he brought us, the peace and the hope that he brought us. Let's sing Hark the Herald.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels. glory to the newborn King.
Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Lord, we've touched our harps of gold today and using our voices to praise you. Indeed, your name is glorious this morning. You have blessed us eternally in way of your birth, your incarnation. Father God, thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be born among us, taking on human flesh for our sake, that our sin might be dealt with. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this blessing that we celebrate during this Advent season. Lord, we commit ourselves to you, to hearing your voice speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, even touch our children as they are amongst us today. Thank you for our teachers that continually instruct our kids of your word, of your truth. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon them. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that fills up those things that we cannot teach, that only you can give towards our children, towards our teachers, towards us this morning. So, Father God, we pray that you would again fill us to fullness in way of your Holy Spirit. We pray also for Ray Cha as he comes to speak and preach your first message to us this morning. Father God, thank you for his preparation and for this opportunity he takes. I know this has been the first message that I'm hearing from Ray, and I look forward to it, Lord. I pray that you would bless him and encourage him, and I thank you for him and Andia and for their ministry here in our church beginning in this year. Pray that you'll bless him as he ministers to the youth and also to us this morning. We pray particularly for Michelle this morning in the loss of her brother this week, very suddenly at age 59. We pray for Michelle and also the entire family, Lord, as they grieve the loss. But yet in the sorrow, Lord, in the changeableness of our world, Lord, we know that you are with us through all the difficulties, through all the trials. You still give us a sense and an abiding peace and joy in you, not in the difficulties that we face in this life, but solely in you, Lord Jesus. So thank you, and we pray your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Please be seated, and we'll dismiss our children as well. Thank you, kids, for joining us this morning for worship, and we welcome Pastor Ray to give us his message.
Now, good morning. Today's the third Sunday of Advent, marking Sunday as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, recall back last year, around the same time this year, I was preaching on the genealogy of Jesus on a Saturday night service that we used to have. And quite ironically, this time around, I'll be preaching on the succeeding passage. Now, the book of Matthew is the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is the bridging of the old covenant into the new covenant. Matthew starts off with, he's introducing Christ and his kingdom as the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. Matthew starts off with the genealogy of Jesus, revealing God's preparation for us by the coming of the Jesus Christ through the line of King David. It is succeeded by Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, verse 25. Narrating how Mary was found pregnant with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now let us stand before the Lord and read of his divine word. And count to three, one, two, three. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, He had it in mind to divorce her quietly. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit.
She will give birth to a son.
You will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has done through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what was the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And you may be seated. Now, in the beginning of the book of Matthew, we can see that Joseph has already found his perfect woman. He's a godly woman. He has done everything, prepared everything to wed Mary. Joseph should be happy, joyful. But yet, after reading this passage, you can imagine how he felt. He must have been in great pain because his betrothed is pregnant with a child not of his own. You got to remember, they have not entered sexual intimacy yet. Can you imagine how Joseph would have felt at that time? If it was us, if it was you, would you have felt betrayed, enraged, infuriated? Regardless, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be a joyful feeling. Now, Mary's pregnancy caught Joseph by surprise. Now, according to the Mosaic law in Deuteronomy 22, Joseph had every right to stone her to the death, not in private, but in public. But you got to pay attention to Joseph's character in verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and get this, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Being a just man, a faithful follower to the law, and a man of great discretion, Joseph did not succumb to his anger. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. That means not publicly announcing it to the world, on the synagogues, in the city gates, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anywhere that's publicly disgracing Mary and her family. Joseph was definitely not in joy, but he did not succumb to his anger. Too often we focus on the purity of Mary and how she found favor in God's eyes in the book of Luke. Yet we overlook the merits of Joseph being a man of God. I mean, here is the man that's supposed to be the earthly father of Jesus. This was the man who was supposed to teach him carpentry, doing everything and teaching everything an earthly father would do to a son. Wouldn't you think at least he would be a man of God? However, Matthew reveals Joseph more to be just a man of God. He's a man of justice. He's a man of great discretion, a man of piety, of obedience, and self-discipline. Now, I recall back in 2013 when I was ready to quit my job at Future Shop to go on a longer short-term missions trip in China for 8 months. I had about 7-8 months time before I actually depart. I thought I had a little fun and I would apply for a better job, a Samsung rep. And lo and behold, I actually got the job. The job was better pay, it was better benefits. Every 6 months I had a Samsung flagship phone I can use to myself. I had every incentive to stay in Canada and not go to China. I was in great agony. I was not in comfort at all. I struggled to obey my desires or the desires of God. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you this right now. When we obey ourselves, there's a good chance that we'll be happy, right? All of us have obeyed ourselves before, one time or another. We will be happy because it's our own desires. But I guarantee you, when we obey God, He will repay us more in this life or the next. If I hadn't quit that Samsung job, I wouldn't have went to study Bible school in Hong Kong. If I hadn't went to Bible school, I wouldn't have met my wife. Now, when God tasks us to do certain things, his great work for his kingdom's sake, you might not like it. We might not find comfort in it. Not joyful. Jesus knew himself that he was going to the cross. God, his Father, wills it for him. Yet it was not an easy task. Can you imagine Jesus going to the cross all being happy and joyful? Now, he struggled the night before the crucifixion. He was in great anguish. He asked God to take away the torment that comes his way, if it was God's will. Not every task that God gives to us is a pleasant one, a joyful one. The key factor is obedience. Are we willing to obey even if it requires to step outside of our comfort zone? Even it causes us pain, not just physical pain, mental pain. Are we ready to speak to someone about Jesus? Stand up for what is right in your schools, in your workplace. He may be calling you to go to serve at church, full-time, part-time, into full-time ministry. Are we willing to be prepared to obey God despite the pain? Let's stop obeying ourselves and start obeying Jesus, obeying God. Now, Matthew deals with the concept of incarnation in the same passage. The birth of the King, of the Messiah, is referred to in three different ways. Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior, and Emmanuel. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in his dreams, referring to him as Joseph, the son of David, which ties to the legitimacy of Jesus' genealogy to the Davidic Messiah. From Joseph's perspective, this actually also asserts the significance of his role that he plays in this in Jesus' story. Mary's child was explained by being conceived by the means of the Holy Spirit, that Joseph is to continue to marry Mary, to wed Mary. Joseph responds with what? Obedience. He is to name the child Jesus. Now, the name Jesus is actually the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. There are many, many Joshuas in the Old Testament, namely the two great Joshuas. First of all, the Joshua who was the successor of Moses that led the people into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And then we have Joshua, the high priest, who was the first high priest of the Jews after they'd been returned from the Babylonian exile. But we got to take into consideration here that instead of referring to these great Joshuas, the angel of the Lord explains the significance of the name Jesus, referring to Psalm 130, verse 8. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. This means that the Messiah, the chosen one, Jesus, will be the Savior of his people. Not from the Roman oppression, not from the future persecution of his people, but from the spiritual enslavement of their sins, from our sins. I'm sure most of you have heard of Spider-Man. If you guys haven't heard, if not watched the cartoons, the movies, or played the game. Regardless, Spider-Man is this web-swinging hero. He comes swinging in, and then if there's danger, he would save innocent people's lives, and he would fight off evil, and would leave. He was a superhero. However, there's a problem with superheroes. They would come in, save the day, defeat the evil, and they would leave. That's okay if you're a superhero. Come in and save the day. But being God incarnate himself, Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to walk with us. Now, Matthew recalls the fulfillment of prophecy in verse 23, quoting the book of Isaiah 7, verse 14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. He wants us to be with him and him with us. The Lord of all creation, the one who will rule all nations. The heaven's perfect lamb, the great I am, is with us. What joy can we take in that? It's true that when we obey God, it's not necessarily being joyful or happy, but we can definitely take joy because God is with us, and from the beginning to the end. Now, I'm going to be frank and truthful to you guys. I'm not a good student, and I don't like being a student. Of all the 3 years I was spent in Hong Kong Seminary, I without using the H word, I disliked it. Right? It was besides the hot and humid weather and then schooling. Every week I had to wash the dorms' floors, the windows, public washrooms, because that's part of the training we have there as students. Did I have it? Did I enjoy it? Of course not. Who enjoys washing washrooms? But I can take joy that God was with me. Every time I washed the washroom, I was thinking to myself, the great I am is with me washing washrooms. Right? Now, on multiple occasions, the relationship between God and his people is being referred to as the bridegroom and the bride. In Ephesians, Jesus has been called the bridegroom, and we, the church, is his bride. Now, this is more than just a beautiful metaphor. It's the relationship between Christ and the church and the sequence of events is in direct parallel to us as believers. And these sequences are parallels to that of a traditional Jewish marriage that comes in three parts. Number one, the bridegroom would choose would choose the bride for his son. Like in the Old Testament, Abraham would chose Isaac's wife for him. Okay? Like how God chooses us, the church, as Jesus' bride. And on the other side, the Rebekah, which is Isaac's wife, had the choice to choose Isaac as her husband or not. And just like that, we have a choice to choose Jesus as our bridegroom or not. Now, when the father of the bridegroom chose the bride, and the bride says yes, the next phase is bridal price. The bridegroom's father will pay the bride's price to the bride's family. Okay, thus it was God who paid the bride's price for us. And the bride price is this, that God sent his sinless, his perfect son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. A price that we as brides have no way of paying because we are slaves to our own sins. Therefore, Jesus paid the ultimate price, his life, so that we can be free from sin and be with Jesus eternally. If we can't take joy in that, if we don't own that joy, if we don't want that joy for our friends and family and neighbors, then I'm sorry, we don't truly love them at all. Now, phase two, the engagement or the betrothal phase, is the phase that Joseph and Mary is in the beginning of Matthew. And it's the very phase that us as the church in our relationship with Christ is right now. Both parties, both the bridegroom and the bride, is bound by contract, a new covenant. And the new covenant is this. The bridegroom will provide all the necessities up until the wedding and thereafter too. Jesus today has provided us with the Holy Spirit. At the same time, he is preparing a home for us in his Father's household. Now, the betrothal phase is also called, it's also the phase of sanctification, to set apart. It is a time where the couple would set aside for each other, preparing themselves to go into the marriage phase, the covenant of marriage. And likewise, we as the bride of Christ are to set ourselves apart for Christ, for Jesus, doing our best to present ourselves before Jesus. Not that he would accept us, because he wants us regardless, but to look our best as possible. If you can imagine, a bride-to-be would always want to look her best in her bridegroom, right? Now, if the betrothal phase is the phase of anticipation, the final phase will be the phase where Jesus, the groom's arrival, Christ's arrival, a celebration. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, in the Chinese wedding tradition, the wife would wait at her home, waiting for the husband to receive her and to bring her home. On my wedding day, my fiancé at the time was waiting for me to carry her off to the church for a wedding ceremony. And likewise, the final phase of the Jewish wedding tradition, the bridegroom would sweep the bride off her feet and bring her home. Jesus would come and carry us off to his home. He has prepared for us. What joy that we know that Jesus is coming for us, that we can have the hope of assurance that Jesus is coming, that we can have the peace because it can be found in God's plan for us. Our purpose is to look like Christ, not the other way around. It was just this past Sunday, December 9th, that when we are sitting in our comfortable pews, worshiping God, at the same time, nighttime in Chengdu, China, that over 100 Christians, students, church leaders are being, who are part of the early Rain Covenant Church, are being pulled off the streets, pulled off their homes, and into custody because they are Christians. Some of them beaten, persecuted, abused, physically and mentally. Yet they claim they want to continue to gather and worship God. It doesn't matter. They're not confined to buildings. They can go in the streets. They were willing to take up the cross. One of them explained in Chinese, "We are willing to have 200 of us, 300 of us, 500 of us locked up so that the whole world will know that we are willing to be persecuted for our faith, for Christ." These Christians were even forced to sign a contract, an agreement, saying that they would not attend church and worship God. Why are these people willing to be persecuted for Christ, for the gospel, if not knowing for the hope of assurance that of Christ's return and peace because of God's purpose in them, for them, sorry. And take joy that knowing God is with them. These Christians are willing to fight for what is right, no matter what the consequences. You guys must be sitting here today thinking, there's no persecution in Canada. There is. It's not the same persecution, the physical persecution that is happening in China right now or other parts of the world, but I would call it a mental one or a silent persecution. Workplaces are requiring employees to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. But I'm sorry. My holidays aren't that happy without Christ. Right? Our children, faithful Christians, are being forced into silence about our faith in schools. That religion is supposed to be confined within these walls or the walls of our own homes to be done in private. That any religious practice is to be done in private. That goes everything that Jesus has taught us about. The Great Commission is this: therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, we can take joy that the fact that Jesus is coming for his bride, for us, the church. Every day, or not every day, once in a while, I will actually wonder when. We don't know. Only the fathers knows. Only the bridegroom fathers know when the bridegroom is ready to receive his wife. In turn, it is our Father in heaven, God, who knows when it's Jesus coming. But what can we do right now? What can we do right now? Sit our hands in our pews or in our chairs? No? Starting today, if not already, we can be like Joseph, be that obedient servant. We can be joyful, obedient servants because God is Emmanuel. God is with us. Let us repay his grace by being with God. Commit to his great commission. Salvation is offered to us by acknowledging Jesus is Savior and Lord. Not by works, but by faith. But brothers and sisters, what kind of devoted followers of Christ are we when we are too afraid to share gospel to our friends and family because we are too afraid to offend them? When Jesus comes for us, can we come before him face to face and say that I have done everything to fulfill his great commission? Now, my greatest fear is when I die and I go to heaven, and God forbid, and I don't see my loved ones there because I have not done my part as being a follower of Christ. Are we willing to be that devoted follower of Christ today, if not yesterday already? Not tomorrow, today. Let's bow down. We have a word prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for being who you are, the loving Father. We know today that we may not be happy or joyful when we do your great work, Lord, but we can be happy and joyful because knowing that you, the great I Am, the ruler of all nations, is willing to be with us and is with us, Emmanuel. God, let us live out your great commission, not just by words, but by faith, by walking it out, Lord. Lord, we can't do this ourselves. We need you. We need you in our. We need that Holy Spirit to give us that extra kick in our behind, so that we would do your great commission. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for preparing our home for us in your Father's household. For those today who haven't accepted you as their bridegroom, I pray for their acceptance. Let it be today, if not tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Pray most wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.
Please rise. Now he has come and he will come again. And right now he is with us because he is Emmanuel.
Song and fall.
resounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and
receive God's benediction upon your hearts today. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. First of all, thank you, worship team, as you've led us again this morning in worship. Thank you, Pastor Ray, as he's preached God's word to us. Thank you, Ray. And also, want to remark on just some of the things. You know, part of joy is, I think, Thanksgiving, isn't it? To be thankful for each other. And as you notice our banners here, it was not so long ago, was it, Heather, that you and Wendy got together and created these banners. So if you look over to your right, my left on the stage, you see hope and peace and our third banner, joy. So these were created, I don't know how many years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago now. Has it been that long? About that. Okay, can't remember how long those go. But we hang these banners up to remind us of the Advent season. So around the church here, to remind us of God's great blessings upon us. And certainly, we are to be a people of thanksgiving. Amen? Amen. And those remind us of what we are to be thankful for. Also, I don't know if you've noticed this, but every Sunday you come in here, there is a beautiful flower arrangement sitting up on here on stage. And this week I happened to be over at the Henderson Mall catching our kids doing their performance. And ran into Maria Y. And she showed us a picture of that flower arrangement that she had made. And people like Maria Y and May, wave your hand a little bit. She's quite shy. But these two ladies and other ladies around do come in on Saturday mornings and work tirelessly to create these flower arrangements. They're not purchased, they're created by our own people. And so the flowers are purchased, and there's a way of giving towards these flower arrangements that you see before you each week. And that can be through a flower offering, and you can sign up for that and talk to Peter or Michelle about that and how that could be done. But such a blessing, isn't it, to have these beautiful flower arrangements each and every week. So we ought to be thankful for that. And also, I believe our worship team has constantly been practicing. You know, musically, they're spot on and do such a wonderful job for us each and every Sunday. So thank you, guys. And there's other ones that aren't here in the midst. Our sound guys and the AV guys. Yeah. Let's keep on clapping. That's right. And we need to be thankful for each other this morning. We need to be thankful for each other this morning. So I do want you to stand up again this morning. And I want you to shake each other's hands and say joy, peace, hope to each other in this Christmas season.
Joy, peace, and joy. Wrong.
Joy, peace, hope to you. Joy, peace, and hope.
We are so thankful for each other. Let's bow our heads in closing prayer as we're dismissed this morning. Lord Jesus, we come before you and thank you so much for each other, your church, given to us. We're not to live our lives in singularity, Lord, but as the body of Christ, as the family of Christ. And so we come together in solidarity, as Ray pointed out to us this morning, in way of the church in Guangzhou. Lord, such a blessing that we can come together in the freedoms of Canadian law and be able to worship you in truth and by your Spirit, Lord. Thank you this morning that we come together in this Advent season, and pray your blessings as we depart this place of worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated again, and then just one or two things I just have to mention to you. As we close out our service today, please join us for our Connections Room coffee time. Further chance to enjoy each other and get to know what's happening in our weeks. And it's so good to have Mark and Vivian amongst us this morning. Yeah, hi Mark. Hi Vivian. And baby. I was talking to Peter, Mark's brother, this week, and I was asking, so what's the baby's name?
Josiah.
So good to have baby Josiah with us, just recently born. November 29th? 29th, okay. Wonderful. So you want to talk to Pastor Peter and Vivian, and Mark, sorry. Slip there. Also be aware that we do have our baptismal service coming up on the 23rd next Sunday. Do make time for that. That'll be at 2:30 in the afternoon. So we have a great number of people being baptized this Sunday, or that next Sunday. And Pastor Ray and Pastor Joe will be in the tank baptizing these guys. So we'll look forward to that. And also be aware that we do have a Christmas Eve service coming up on the 24th. So mark your calendars for that and do try to join us. It's at 5:30, a little earlier, so you can come and then enjoy dinner with your families afterwards. That was a plan in making it a little earlier for you on Christmas Eve. So God's blessing as you go out from this place. Go out in a spirit of joy and thanksgiving in his name. Amen.